in the first era of Islamic history, there were various type of groups claiming to be Muslims, but really they had deviated from the main cause. You had the Mu'tazilis, Qadriya, Jabriya, Rawafiz, what we know as Shias. Then with passage of time, these people became integrated into the Muslim public. And you couldn't distinguish them. They were lost. How you get animals becoming instinct, they became instincted. See? Now these same groups are coming up again, but under different names. Some of the salient features in some of those groups, splinter groups in the past, was they used to use the brain, they used to use reasoning against the Nusus, against the clear text of the Quran or the Hadith, they apply the brains. Now obviously this is not at all acceptable, that on the one end you've got the clear text of the Quran or the clear text of the Hadith appearing absolutely clear, then it doesn't appeal to one's reasoning. When it doesn't appeal to one's reasoning, now you want to give an explanation to it. So there may be many a things that will not appeal to your reasoning. It may appeal to someone else's reasoning. So then, how do you make the criteria then? How do you define the criteria? There must be some criteria. You say it doesn't appeal to your reasoning. Alright, it doesn't appeal to your reasoning. But if it doesn't appeal to your reasoning, will you call it unreasonable? You won't call it unreasonable. It doesn't appeal to your reasoning. If it doesn't appeal to your reasoning, you won't say it's illogical. Right? Now there are a lot of things like that in Deen. You see, making wuzu and you got the leather socks. So you have to make masa of the leather socks, you'll make it on the top, not on the underneath. And if someone makes the masa on the underneath, then you'll say his masa is incomplete. He has to do it on the top. But now, reasoning and logic requires that you do it underneath, not on the top. Because the walking is done with the underneath. So that is getting soiled. And the top is not getting soiled. But the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ was that he did it on the top. So now there may be some things in the Quran and the Hadith that doesn't appeal to every person's reasoning and logic. Right? Like for example, there are some verses in the Quran Sharif, right? And those verses became abrogated, they were cancelled, right? In spite of them being cancelled, we still recite them. وَالَّذِينَ يُتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا وَصِيَّةً لِأَزْوَاجِهِمْ مَتَاعًا إِلَى الْحَوْلِ غَيْرَ إِخْرَاجٍ. Initially, the law was that when a person is dying, then he makes a bequest for his wife, that she must not be removed from his house for one complete year. مَتَاعًا إِلَى الْحَوْلِ غَيْرَ إِخْرَاجٍ. She must take the benefit, the use of the house, and she can't be expelled of the house. Then this verse was replaced with the verse of Yusikumullah, where the wife has got a confirmed and a fixed share in the estate of the husband. Right? وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكَ. Right? Now the question comes up that when this verse has been cancelled permanently, then why do we recite it? That's the question. Why do we recite it? So the reason is very simple, right? The reason is, amongst other reasons, there's two or three genuine reasons that you can give at this on this objection, you see. The one reason you give is we are not like the previous nations. The previous nations, what happened to them is because the Quran was not in conformity with their books in some issues, therefore they rejected the Quran. The Quran is talking of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a Nabi to come after their Nabi. So though they were true in their zamana, but now they can't see a Nabi coming after their Nabi. Now because there was a Nabi coming after their Nabi, therefore they rejected the Quran Sharif. Right? So they can't accept their law being cancelled and terminated, and any law replacing their law. And as for the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they are saying, no, if there is a law coming to replace any of our law, then we will accept it. This was the law, and there is another law coming to replace the original law, so we will terminate the previous and we will go for the new. Right? So this was the original law, that a woman will get a compulsory share, compulsory a bequest from her husband for an entire year. But now it's cancelled, so she will no longer practice it. And wholeheartedly she says, I will not practice it. I don't have any reservations. Right? And I will go into the new law. This new law says that this woman has a specified and a fixed share in the estate of the husband. She will get quarter if the husband doesn't have any children. If the husband has children, she will get 1/8. So she says, I'm going to leave this first command, I'm leaving it out. The first command was that I have a right to live in the husband's house. I can't be pulled out. But I will be leaving this law, and I will go to this new law. Right? So one is to show the spirit of this ummah, that we aren't like the past nations, where there was a new law coming to replace their law, they will not have the heart to just accept the new law. Right? Number one. Number two, reciting this verse is going to bring sawab to you. You're reciting a verse, and this is part of the Quran Sharif, so you're getting sawab for that. Are you getting sawab for that? For every harf and every word, you're going to be rewarded. Right? That's the second benefit. And number three, it is to show that this ummah doesn't go by its brain. It goes by the command of Allah Ta'ala. See? Number four, to impress upon this ummah that the Quran will not be understood without the hadith. Now tell me, how can you understand this verse here without the hadith? Can anybody learn it? Can't understand it. So as the Quran is a hujjat and it's an argument, it's a proof exactly the same. The hadith is also a proof, it's an argument. You can't understand the Quran without the hadith. When the hadith has come and shown you that this verse has been cancelled. Otherwise, show me a verse that is telling you clearly, emphatically, that this verse has been cancelled. Come, show me. Nowhere is written in the Quran saying that this is now cancelled. No way, tells you. So there could be four reasons. Today my namaz, I was just thinking, what are the reasons? And these four reasons came to my mind. That this ummah will have to express it to their actions, to their behavior, to their ways, that the hadith is also an argument. You can't leave out the hadith. For whatever reason, you can't leave it out. Like if you accept everything else, you accept the Quran, you have to accept the hadith. Right? But the problem is this, that there's too many translations of everything available. And then people go into translation, they look up this translation, that translation, and now they can come to the conclusion that, na'uzu billah, there is an inconsistency. And someone brought it to me. He brought it up to me that there's an inconsistency. Now his father is an educated person, professional person. He's not an ordinary person, he's a professional person. Accountant, right? I said, no, I studied the Quran Sharif, but there's an inconsistency, na'uzu billah. The inconsistency is in your brain, not in the Quran Sharif. But now, we need to be prepared for this. If he's asking you that there is an inconsistency, now how do you answer this? That's what Mawlana says, that in this zamana, people's faham and understanding is gone very weak. So you need to rectify their faham, their understanding. You need to see the basis. Where is the basis of their problem? Like the basis of this person's problem is, he's trying to understand the Quran Sharif directly, without the assistance of a guide, without the assistance of a tutor. That's the basis. That's the basis of his problem. Don't you find that it's become like a commonplace now? But the Quran Sharif doesn't speak about it. About a few years ago, there was the Amina Lawal case, right? And it was about stoning a fornicatress or fornicator, right? Person who has committed fornication, and there must be, he must be, or she must be stoned to death, right? So that was a world news, international world news, everywhere. All the papers were carrying the same thing. Television, media was talking very, very strongly about it. Now, amongst the Muslim community, you get several groups. One group will say the truth as it appears. The other group will try to have an apologetic approach. What? You try and have an apologetic approach. So those that have an apologetic approach, now they are caught here. When they're caught here, you know, the Quran Sharif perhaps is referring to an isolated incident, you know. That's what happened. Na'uzubillah, they will have an apologetic approach. That apologetic approach doesn't work. You say the truth as it is. Don't cut and trim. You don't have the right. Allah Pak didn't tell you that you must come and now apologize for me. You know, I said this thing here 1400 years ago. Now in this century, this 15th century, it doesn't seem to be working out, so just cover up for me. Allah doesn't need your apology. You don't need to apologize for Allah Ta'ala. You need to apologize to Him for not accepting His law, not to apologize for His law. Who asked you to apologize? You don't need to apologize for the law of Allah Ta'ala. Why must you be apologetic? No, just explain it as He's given it to you. You don't have the right. He didn't give you that right. He didn't give you that authority that you can apologize and just cut and trim. No. You say it as it is. So now, they have that apologetic attitude. They say, no, they make an explanation for this. And someone will say, no, but this is not contained in the Quran Sharif. So it's not an obligation. But, right? It's not in the Quran Sharif. So because it's not in the Quran Sharif, therefore, it's not a compulsory law. you know, apologetic attitude. So we would say, no, we don't have to have an apologetic attitude. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala. Though the Qur'an says doesn't speak about it, but the basis of our information is not just the Qur'an Sharif. The basis is the Qur'an and the Sunnah. If it's not in the Qur'an, if it's in the Hadith, then that's also a basis of our information. So if it's not found in the Qur'an Sharif, what? Will we say that it's not compulsory? No. There are so many things that are not found in the Qur'an Sharif, yet we practice it. Right? We perform 5 times namaz, but where is it mentioned in the Qur'an Sharif that you perform this namaz from this time to this time? Where is it mentioned? Fajr namaz from Subh Sadiq till sunrise. Show me one place in the Qur'an Sharif where it says that this is the time that the namaz time will set in and this is the time that the namaz time will end. No way it's mentioned. But the whole world, right throughout, everybody is practicing it. Now this is where we go wrong, that we become apologetics, you know. Where is the Qur'an Sharif? One person was defending the beard, you know. He's talking in defense of the beard. The beard must be kept. And there's no way that you can shave the beard, etc. So someone asked him, by where in the Qur'an Sharif is the command of the keeping of the beard? Show me the Qur'an Sharif. Right? So his questioning is wrong. You don't answer him in this way. You don't say, no, this is the verse. You will ask him, alright, if you say, where is the command of keeping the beard in the Qur'an Sharif, that is the Sughra, right? The Kubra of this will be, and if anything is not found in the Qur'an Sharif, then it is not valid, right? If something is not found in the Qur'an, then this is not valid. So the premise that he is arguing upon is not right. You can't argue on that premise. Alright. Now this person has got an apologetic attitude and is trying to scratch out something from the Qur'an Sharif. So he says, yeah, no, the Qur'an Sharif speaks about it. لا تأخذ بلحيتي. When Musa alayhi salam had returned to the Bani Israel and he found his people resorting to a calf worship, so he got very, very upset and he pulled his brother's beard in anger. So his brother said, لا تأخذ بلحيتي. Don't hold my beard, don't pull me by my beard. Now he presented this ayat, لا تأخذ بلحيتي, that the Qur'an Sharif, there is the law of keeping the beard in the Qur'an Sharif, and this is the verse that he tended. And then he says to other ulama, you know, I quoted this verse and it worked. So they tell him, but you just thank Allah Pak that it worked. Otherwise this verse is not sufficient proof. Because this verse is showing the existence of a beard, not the command of a beard. What is proving? The existence of a beard, not the command of the beard. Where does it show in the Quran that you must keep a beard? It doesn't show. So this verse is showing that the beard exists. It doesn't show that the you are commanded to keep a beard. See? So some of us have this type of an attitude and that apologetic attitude. No, you don't become apologetic for Allah. He doesn't need your apologizing. My command, just leave it. You don't come and interfere with my command. Just leave it as it is. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. This is the haqq. You want to accept it, you accept it. It's not a feather in the cap of the haqq if you accept it. It's a feather on your cap. If you accept the truth, it's a feather on your cap, not on the cap of haqq. Haqq will always be great. Right? It will always be great. You don't have the ability to brighten the sun. Do you have the bright ability taking a torch and brightening the sun? No, the sun will brighten you. You don't need to brighten the sun. It will glorify you, it will brighten you, it will make you radiant. Now you trying like a bright thing to go and brighten the sun. What will people say? Why? The sun doesn't need your help. It doesn't need your assistance. You're trying to brighten the sun, it doesn't need you. So the same is the situation with Haqq. Haqq is always bright. It's always radiant. You can't find anything more brilliant, more radiant, brighter than this, than the Haqq. You can't find anything else. فَمَاذَا بَعْضَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. Apart from Haqq, what can there be but error? Haqq is on one side, right? After Haqq, you can't get anything but wrong. You go further than truth, what will you get? Above the truth, what will you get? You'll get nothing but falsehood. فَمَاذَا بَعْضَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ فَأَنَّا تُصْرَفُونَ. So these aspects, they refer to your aqaid, you see. They refer to your aqaid. This time is such that we are going through a period where there is intellectual apostasy. And that has to be rectified, has to be corrected. Like I say, in one zamana, they were that group of people where if something did not conform to their reasoning, they rejected it. Then I gave you the example of making mazah on the khuffain, on the leather socks, right? It's not accordance to your brain, but still you accept it, and you accept it wholeheartedly. Right? And then I explained that for the word of Allah Ta'ala, you don't need to apologize. You don't need to apologize, just leave it as it is. That will prevail. Al-haqqu ya'lu, the brightness of the sun, that will always prevail. You don't need to prove the brightness of the sun. Right? The brightness of the sun will prove itself. You don't need to go and prove the brightness of the sun. So the same with Haqq, the Haqq will prove itself. You don't need to come and support, you don't need to come to the defense and the aid of the Haqq by being apologetic, etc. You just present it, that's all. Just show it, just refer them. Just point it out to them, this is the Haqq. Show it to them, this is the Haqq. But your job is done. Further than that, it's not your job, not your work. People generally say that ye log to hame kafir, ulama hame kafir banate hain, they make us kafirs. No, they don't make you kafir. Kafir batate hain, banate nahi. Aapko batate hain, banate nahi. They don't make you kafirs. But when you do an act of kufr, now they will tell you that the law of kufr applies to you. Like a person is dead, right? So the doctor is called to check him up, to give a death certificate, whatever it is. So you don't say the doctor killed the patient. No. He says, no, he showed that all the symbols, all the signs are there that this person is dead. According to my studies and according to my science, that this shows that this person is dead. He is no more in this world. Finish. So when he issues you that certificate, then you don't say that the doctor killed the patient. No. He says, according to his knowledge, according to the principles of what he has learnt and educated himself in, all the facts are there to show that this man is dead. He's not any more alive. Understand? So this must be cleared up in our minds. See, this things of aqaid and belief, this must be cleared up in our minds. Don't have this doubts, don't have this small inconsistencies in our minds. And if there is an inconsistency, then clear it up. As Mustafa Rahman used to say, that presently they are like small snakes, you see, they haven't hatched out yet. So to squash it and break it is very easy. But tomorrow, if they hatch out of their eggs and of their shells, and they turn into pythons, the small, small problems that you have now, tomorrow when they turn into pythons, then it will be out of your control. Now they are small, in the eggs, you can just smash them, finish it up. But when they come out of control, then you can't do anything about it. That's good.